Well, thank you, Robert, for your kind words of welcome. It's really good to be here this evening and to speak on this subject of coping with disability. I hope what I have to say may be of some help to you or to anyone listening. I want to read two passages of Scripture. First of all, from Genesis chapter 17. Genesis chapter 17. I'm reading from verse 7 down to verse 14. And I will establish my covenant between me and you and your offspring after you throughout their generations for an everlasting covenant to be God to you and to your offspring after you. And I will give to you and to your offspring after you the land of your sojournings, all the land of Canaan, for an everlasting possession, and I will be their God. And God said to Abraham, as for you, you shall keep my covenant, you and your offspring after you, throughout their generations. This is my covenant, which you shall keep between me and you and your offspring after you. Every male among you shall be circumcised. You shall be circumcised in the flesh of your foreskins, and it shall be a sign of the covenant between me and you. He who is 8 days old among you shall be circumcised. Every male throughout your generations, whether born in your house or bought with your money, from any foreigner who is not of your offspring, both he who is born in your house and he who is bought with your money shall surely be circumcised. So shall my covenant be in your flesh, an everlasting covenant. Any uncircumcised male who is not circumcised in the flesh of his foreskin shall be cut off from his people. He has broken my covenant. And just a second reading from the book of Genesis again, and chapter 50, verses 14 to 21. Other from verse 15 to 21. When Joseph's brothers saw that their father was dead, they said, "It may be that Joseph will hate us and pay us back for all the evil that we did to him." So they sent a message to Joseph, saying, "Your father gave this command before he died. Say to Joseph, please forgive the transgression of your brothers and their sin, because they did evil to you. And now, please forgive the transgression of the servants of the God of your father." Joseph wept when they spoke to him. His brothers also came and fell down before him and said, "Behold, we are your servants." But Joseph said to them, "Do not fear, for am I in the place of God? As for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good, to bring it about that many people should be kept alive as they are today. So do not fear, I will provide for you and your little ones." Thus he comforted them and spoke kindly to them. Coping with disability. Our son, Caleb, was officially diagnosed with autism in 1994. Although he exhibited autistic traits from about the age of two. He's 28 years old now, and his autistic characters are still with him. although modified to some degree. You'll probably know that autism covers a wide spectrum of conditions, but it does generally show itself in some of the following ways: a tendency to avoid interaction, difficulty paying attention, repetitive statements, difficulty making needs and desires known, avoiding physical contact. Thankfully, Caleb is tactile. He's a bit different. He likes his gentle or little hugs from his mum and bear hugs from the men in the family. They also can show difficulties with changes in environment and also developing fixations with certain things. Well, what do you do whenever a good friend tells you that you should have your son psychologically assessed? She has seen something in Caleb that wasn't obvious to us. And what do you do when you get the diagnosis that your son has mild to moderate autism? What do you do whenever you rise in the morning and there's a very strong smell emanating from his bedroom? And on opening the door, you see your child and the walls of the bedroom smeared in you know what. What do you do when the smoke alarm goes off and you run to the bedroom and there's smoke coming from the door, from outside the door, and you look in and your bed is on fire? Caleb had discovered matches. That was the last time he ever did anything like that. He got a fright. And what do you do when you're at the dinner table and his eyes well up with tears and he cannot express to you what the problem is? What do you do when your 5-year-old son absconds and hours later you find him on a diving board in Salt Hill, taking his socks and shoes off in order to plunge into the icy cold waters of Galway Bay? Absconding has been an ongoing part of Caleb's life, probably the thing that has caused us the most concern over the years, and which resulted in him having a car accident or being hit by a car in November 2013. What do you do when your son is in intensive care in Beaumont Hospital in Dublin? I could go on, but I think you probably get the picture. Caleb's disability has brought many, many challenges to our family. At times, it did feel like our whole world was crashing in on us. The sense of being completely overwhelmed certainly describes how it felt at times. In the early days, we were clutching at straws as to know how best to help Caleb. All of this, and you're engaged in church planting work in a city, and you're far away from your wider family and support. My wife Mary was diagnosed with a debilitating condition in 2014 called transverse myelitis, in everyday language, inflammation of the spinal cord. Ordinarily, this can be treated, but in Mary's case, the scans that were being viewed, those viewing them didn't spot this inflammation, and it was too late for the treatment that they ordinarily give for this condition. This has meant difficulty in using her left leg and walking long distances, and she also has to endure nerve pain and requires drugs to bring about alleviation. How did we cope? How do we cope? For the purpose of this talk, I'm going to focus on Caleb and his autistic years. The name Caleb is associated with ideas like wholeheartedness, courageousness, and even boldness. That's the one that I prefer. So this evening I'd like to use his name as an acronym in order to draw out some of the things that have helped us to cope over the years of Caleb's life. We're beginning with the word, or the letter C, and the word covenant. This word means so much to Mary and myself. It's a word that we use often in our prayers with regards to Caleb. We continue to get so much encouragement from the idea of God's covenant. In the Bible, it speaks of the Lord entering into relationship with ordinary human beings, like Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. So covenant is a very special word, and at the heart of it is God's promise to be our God and to take us as his people. Listen to Genesis 17 and verse 7. I will establish my covenant as an everlasting covenant between me and you and your descendants after you for the generations to come, to be your God and the God of your descendants after you. And this wonderful promise doesn't lose any of its significance in the New Testament. If anything, it's enriched. So how has this helped us? Significantly, that this covenant promise is made with believers and their children. God promises to be the God of believers and their children. We can say, we can believe with confidence that the Lord is deeply interested in our autistic son, Caleb. He promises to be Caleb's God. Indeed, he makes this promise to all children of believers. Later in Genesis, whenever Jacob was blessing Joseph's sons, he refers to the covenant Lord in this way: the God who has been my shepherd all my life to this day. The covenant Lord promises to shepherd his covenant children and their children. If you like, this is a promise that we can remind God about. When we use these truths nearly every day of our existence with regards to Caleb. It's part of our praying for Caleb. We remind God that he has promised to be Caleb's God and to shepherd Caleb all the days of his life. We pray this not because we think it's a kind of mantra or magic mantra. You pray this prayer and good things will happen and life will be nice and easy. We pray this prayer because we know it's true. God promises to be the God of our children. We get enormous comfort from this. It helps us to cope, knowing that God cares intimately for our son. that he has promised to be his God. I am not making the case that God's commitment to the children of believers automatically confers salvation. Rather, they are under the influence of God's working and shepherding. And that is a tremendous comfort, something that we all, believers in Jesus, we can pray with regards to our children. I want you to imagine Caleb absconding, running away from home. If we don't find him within an hour, we know that it could take a long time to find him. Sometimes it's the next day before we see his face again. I should say that Caleb has been trained to wear a tracker watch. That took a very, very long time because he didn't like anything on his wrist. And but he has been trained to wear it. But even with tracker watches, they can fail. And they have failed with Caleb sometimes. So looking for Caleb, I'm usually the one who's looking for him, and the Garda, Shekinah, are looking for him as well. But it's one of the great emotional, one of the most emotional battles for me. Some of the darkest thoughts that I've ever had in my life come into my mind while I'm driving around searching for him. They can be overwhelming as well. I wish I could say that those dark thoughts have never won. Sometimes they have. I have to work hard at counseling myself, at reminding myself that the covenant, Caleb's covenant Lord, knows exactly where he is. That the covenant Lord is in complete control. I'm not, but he is. I remind myself that God is Lord over everything. Mary and I have ample evidence of God's care of Caleb over the years, of God shepherding him. Caleb has been found in some of the nicest and most comfortable places imaginable. Well, maybe not the nicest, but he's been found in safe places. Once we found him in a butcher's van, fast asleep, outside the butcher's house. Fast asleep in the front seat of the car. On another occasion, he was found on a couch in the psychology department of the university, again, fast asleep. Or on another occasion, an unlocked workman's car in the Spittle direction of Galway, again, asleep. He had even exchanged his wet duds, his wet clothes, for the workman's duds. When Caleb has absconded, quite often other people spot him and phone the Garda, or people who know of him phone the Garda or us, and we've been able to find him. Even when we look back on his accident and hospitalization, Caleb was surrounded by very, very caring people. I was with him for the month in Beaumont Hospital and was taken aback by the Filipino nurses caring for him hour after hour after hour. These truths also help us when we think about Caleb's future. The time will come when someone else will have to care for Caleb. You can't help but think of these things. It is emotionally difficult. We know that he will find it extremely hard, as we will. But realistically, it will happen. And again, we have to look to God, who cares for his covenant child. We have to trust the God who has promised to shepherd Caleb all the days of his life. That's C. The rest of them are shorter. A is for acceptance. And this is acceptance at different levels. Any disability has to be accepted. It's easy to be in denial or to believe that we will discover some great treatment or easy solution for a medical problem or whatever. Or even that God will miraculously heal in situations. There is a need to accept disability. You need to accept and understand your child's diagnosis in the early days, and maybe still to a degree. It's easy to view Caleb as just the frustrator of our plans, someone who gets in the way of a more comfortable life. But we have to accept his situation, we have to accept his disability, and we have to live with it every day. For us, acceptance also meant grieving. Something at first that we didn't understand, but that it was present with us. There was something that felt like death. His first 2 years seemed pretty normal. He had language. He had met the use of many different words. And then his language began to disappear very slowly. And eventually, he had no words to use. It's true that we hadn't lost our son physically, but we had lost many of our dreams and plans for our child. Grieving did happen. We grieved a loss. And maybe sometimes it still happens. We grieve a certain loss. For us, acceptance also meant understanding autism and working at understanding autism. This meant reading up on it, meant watching lots of videos at the time, and seeking and getting special school for Caleb that could cater specifically for his needs. But there's an important acceptance which relates to God with regards to disability. And that is accepting that our God had brought Caleb into our lives for some greater purpose. It wasn't a mistake or bad luck or karma or pitiless indifference, to quote Richard Dawkins. Our loving Heavenly Father had placed Caleb in our family, along with his autism. It did involve suffering and hardship, yet it is a part of his good and perfect plan for us. If we believe that God is completely in control, something the Bible teaches, then we must accept whatever comes into our lives from his good hand. We read about Joseph. Joseph came to understand this. Looking back on the harsh and cruel treatment he had received from his brothers, he said to them, "You intended to harm me, but God intended it for good, to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many lives." Jacob looked beyond his suffering and his hardship. to God's greater purpose. Joseph could understand what that greater purpose was. We don't always understand what God's greater purpose is. But we must accept from God's loving hand whatever comes our way. Let me stress, it's not a stoical grin and bear it acceptance. It is submitting to the will of our loving Father, saying, God, you have brought us into this situation. Teach us through it. Guide us through it. Shepherd us through it. We say with the Lord Jesus, not my will, but yours be done. Please don't think for a second that this is easy. I hope I'm not conveying that. It's not easy. It is difficult. And perhaps it's something that you have to keep doing, submitting to our loving Heavenly Father. Acceptance means these things. L stands for love, and you probably guessed that one. Our autistic son is not easy to love. He requires buckets of sacrificial love, and he requires it from us, and we don't always have it. Or he requires it on days when you have just run dry. Our resources are limited. Thankfully, there is a reservoir full of love for people like us. We read God's word that He is love. He is the reservoir of sacrificial love. He knows better than anyone else about sacrificial love. It all began with God sending His one and only Son, Jesus, to lay down His life for our dirt, for our shame and our sin. That's a big sacrificial love. And we can draw on that resource. We can seek Him, we can ask Him that He would indeed replenish our weak, feeble love. Mary and I both believe that we have coped because people have prayed for us and our family. We owe a great debt to praying folk in our churches who have prayed consistently for us over the years. We're so filled with thanksgiving for our brothers and sisters in Jesus who have prayed for us. Thank you. You couldn't have done more for us than pray for us. Down the years, we have sensed from our fellow believers their not knowing what to do in order to help. And we understand that. If you prayed for us, you did a big thing. Love leads people to pray. Love reminds us of our need of community. We live in a world of broken communities and relationships. The church is our community, and Caleb is a part of that fellowship of believers. I love the way Covenant Christian Fellowship down the years have just accepted him. He is part of the fabric of the group. They accept his loud clapping during services or his uncontrollable giggling at times, or his being first up when tea and coffee and biscuits are being served. He has been loved, and he has been prayed for within the community of the church. Church is the best place for messy, dysfunctional families, the best place to be with our disabilities. It's true that the church never loves perfectly, and that's probably because there's people like me in it. But there is the imperfect practice of love there. The third letter is the word embrace. E for embrace. And I hope you see this maybe partly as a challenge. It is embrace disability. Don't draw back from it. Or maybe I should put it a different way. As far as you are able, embrace disability. I've already said that disability needs to be accepted, but it also has to be embraced. You would think that our churches would be drawing places for people with disabilities, because in the church there is compassion and love and sympathy and understanding. The Bible is full of references to people with disabilities. But we remember supremely our Saviour, Jesus. He embraced disability again and again and again. He put his big builder's carpenter's hands on people with deformed and diseased bodies. He became ritually unclean by touching people with skin diseases. He cared for both body and soul. He had a heart for those with disabilities. Don't you just love Jesus for this? He is so different. It just wasn't done in his day. These people had to be kept apart. Christ broke puny rules in order to help disabled people. If you're listening to this tonight and you're struggling with disability of some kind, don't be afraid to approach Jesus, to speak to him in prayer, to tell him all that you're going through, to ask for grace and mercy and rescue. He won't cast you out. He was and is lowly and gentle in heart. He was and he is like this to sinners and sufferers, to borrow someone else's phrase. He is the kind of Saviour who will embrace you when you come to him, needy and broken. He's able to sympathise with you. Let me quote to you from a writer called Dean Ortlund. He writes that the cumulative testimony of the four Gospels is that when Jesus Christ sees the fallenness of the world about him, that includes disabilities, his deepest impulse is to move, or sorry, his deepest impulse, his most natural instinct is to move toward that sin and suffering, not away from it. Go to Jesus with your disability. Christians of all people should embrace disability as far as they can. Beware of staying aloof from it. Do you have any friends living with disabilities that you're ministering to, visiting, praying for, reaching out to? There are great changes in society with regards to disability. Many parents only want healthy children. And so those with disabilities, even minor disabilities, are screened out and destroyed. Some countries in Europe have almost eradicated Down syndrome children from their societies. What a terrible evil that is. Those linked with and to Jesus Christ must be different. We must stand out by embracing disability, by ministering to and caring for the disabled. Our Lord Jesus Christ did. B is for blessing. Blessing. There is the blessing of family life. Disability does curb many of the things that you can do. But we as a family can honestly say that our family life has been enjoyable and exciting at times. After all, God promises to bless covenant families. We have loved being together and doing things together. We've had many good times in beautiful Connemara, bouldering, climbing, swimming, and lots of other things. There are other blessings. There's the blessing of watching my other two sons adapting to life with Caleb and growing in love and care for him. There are reasons why that could have been much different. We were talking recently with Patrick about his favourite bear, the one that he used to take to bed with him every night. And then it went missing, and it was eventually found shredded by Caleb. Or Michael's present of a nice silver bicycle, which Caleb got and absconded on. The bicycle was never ever found again. Often their toys were broken. I suppose in some ways they were learning not to put their trust in things or possessions. And even physically, they got more than a few thumps from Caleb, but they were able to put up with him, and we had to teach them to stand up to Caleb and to stand their ground when he was bullying them. I'm exceedingly proud of them. There's also the blessing of finding joy and pleasure in Caleb. Miriam, we can't really fully explain this. He does say things and do things that fill you with joy. I can't explain it, but I get pleasure sometimes just from watching him. During the first lockdown in Galway, when we had beautiful weather, Caleb and I took ourselves off to beaches. There weren't too many people. They weren't allowed to be on the beach, but we had special permission to move about further than other people. I just got great pleasure from watching him swimming in the ocean, diving into cold water, and all those things. I love his love of the Psalms. We have singing times together, and Caleb has his favourite Psalms. I love his love of story and how he can remember characters from many of the books that we've read to him, Hunca Munca and Tom Thumb. When he laughs, we just have to join in with him, even though we don't know what he's always laughing at. My boys have a tendency to ask him what he's laughing at, and he always says, "Daddy." There's also the blessing of help. Over the years, we have got to know many, many people in the caring professions. The Republic of Ireland, I think, is one of the best countries in the world. Maybe I should say it was one of the best countries in the world if you had a child with a disability. There is great, great work being done in our country. In God's common grace, he works through these caring agencies, providing the expertise and the skill that we lacked. We're so thankful to God for the many, many people that we've got to know. And one of the wonderful things is that in Caleb's centres, they speak so highly of him. They talk about loving working with him, and that brings such joy to us. One of the things that we regularly pray for is that God will use Caleb, that in some way unknown to us, that God will bring glory to his name through Caleb. Suffering and hardship is not for nothing. As Christians, we have to learn to invest our suffering. A bit like handing your money over to an investor so that he can invest it and you can get the reward from it. But we have to invest our sufferings. We've got to give them to God. We've got to ask God to use them to bring glory to him. We have to invest our sufferings, our hardship to God. There is the blessing of proving God, of taking God at his word and living under his lordship and control, of seeking his sustaining grace day by day, week by week, month by month. I wanted to close with another letter, and it's the letter H, the first letter of Caleb's second name. And I'll close with this. But it's H for humour. Humour has helped us to cope. The ability to laugh at one another, to laugh at Caleb, and for him to laugh at us. Laughter is one of the best medicines, and our home has been a place of laughter. Yes, there has been sorrow and sadness and hardship, but it has also been a place of humour, which lightened things and enabled us to cope. Caleb, C for covenant, A for acceptance, L for love, E for embrace, B for blessing, and H for humour. God be praised that he has helped us to cope, and may glory come to him.